Dustin, I about called you up, man. I about called you. He's gonna get you up here. I said, we need some more men. Any men singers out there? Don't raise your hand. I said, you don't have to raise your hand. The Lord will tell me. Or your wife. No, that's fine. We're on part two on the believer's authority. I know some people don't like this. Well, we need to move on. I said, but you know, you need to understand what you have and what you operate in your everyday life and what's available to you. You know, I love those people that will actually explain certain things if I didn't fully understand, because I don't want to get ripped off in certain things like insurance and all that other stuff. Well, you know, you're covered for this. That's great. That's cool. Thank you for that. I love teachers that would lay that out for me in, when I was growing up and stuff. And so, you know, the ones you have to look out for are the ones that won't tell you, but will take advantage of that. So I don't want anybody or the enemy to take advantage of what is going on in your life or what have you. I said, because we always want to keep the enemy on the run. I don't like to sow fear in other believers, but I do love to sow fear in the heart of Satan. And you do that with the word. You do that by preaching the kingdom of God. So if you're going to sow fear into the devil. Amen? Get him on the run. And Acts, if you got your Bibles, open up to Acts 5. Reading from the New King James Version, switching it up on y'all. It says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them. But the people esteemed them highly, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out in the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at least a shadow of Peter's passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all what? Everyone that was brought to them, they were all what? Healed. It wasn't, I'll see you next week. Hopefully it'll work. They were all healed. These things were done by the hands of the apostles. Now, some believe this stuff passed away. God doesn't necessarily need healing today. You don't need healing today. Healing isn't yours. Healing is yours today because it's part of salvation. It's part of what Jesus had did on the cross for you. Healing, the prosperity, deliverance, protection. That stuff came, you know, the forgiveness of your sins. If you can believe that God forgives you of your sins, then you can forgive. I mean, then you can believe for healing because it's the same faith. It's the same saving faith in his grace. Think about that. How many of you go throughout the day thinking, you know, God, I just don't think that God is going to forgive me of my sin. But you'll question his healing. One and the same blood, the same faith, the same grace. It's that simple. Healing belongs to you. It belongs to you. Whatever you're going through, doesn't matter what the doctors say. Thank God for the doctors. They're trying to do what Jesus already had done. If you need them, go. I'm thankful for them. I had to go. Didn't want to. Had to. I won't go again. Why? Because healing belongs to me. I will stand on the word. And ever since then, you know what? I haven't even gotten sick. I don't get sick. You realize that, who was it? Smith Wigglesworth? No, it was John G. Lake. And they were treating that bubonic plague and stuff like that, and he was helping some of the doctors. And they were like, man, I'm so glad we got a vaccination for all this stuff. And he goes, you guys got a vaccination? I don't have a vaccination. He goes, you can't be treating people without a vaccination. He goes, man, there's not a germ or disease that can touch my body and live. So they ended up swabbing some of that stuff out of, put on a little microscope slide. They saw all the plague moving around and stuff like that. And he goes, watch this. And it's kind of like, if you ever seen when you put pepper in water and then you put your hand in it with, what else do they have on it? I said, but whatever they have on your hand, dishwashing soap or something, and then it just dispels. That's what it did. It wasn't an experiment, trick, or what have you. It was just the power of God and what he believed. Not a germ can touch his body and survive. That's the way we got to think. Allergies, allergy season. What? There ain't no season for allergies. When the blood of Jesus is raining in your life, you got to think different. If you want to see miracles happen in your life and the miracle signs and wonders, you got to start thinking different. You got to start listening to people who was actually preaching that stuff. You got to start living it out. You'll see the gospels open up to you in a whole different light when you begin to believe in that light. Well, I don't know if it really works. I don't know. Yeah, okay, that's how you're going to read the gospels. That's how you're going to see Jesus. When you know who he is, when you're spending time with the Father, you know that the Father is a healer. You know that the Father is a deliverer. Not a germ can touch your body. Now, how did he get that way? His revelation of the word. It says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It's revelation knowledge of the word. Now, if that can save me thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars from going to the doctors, and all it takes is time and trusting in the Lord, I'm going to do that. That's better. Then you can teach somebody else. Well, these were done at the hands of the apostles. Does that mean I have to be an apostle? No. When he gave out the Great Commission, he said, go and therefore make disciples of all nations. He was talking to who? The apostles. But you know, everybody else is doing that part and baptizing in the name of Jesus. They're doing that part, but the miracles, no, that was just for the apostles. No, it's not. It goes hand in hand. That and is a conjunction, ties into it. Go, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and these signs and wonders will follow you. I'm going to confirm what you're preaching with miracle signs and wonders. I'm going to confirm what you've been sharing with other people with miracle signs and wonders. I'm going to confirm my word and how I did it on this earth with the miracle signs and wonders when you teach it, preach it, and believe it. Don't think that's just for me, because I was sitting right where you were at, and when he was speaking right to me, actually, I was in that back seat way back in the back when Sandy was talking about our identity in Christ, and it just hit me. Kristen, I talked about, she's a good teacher. She broke it down to my level. What? Change it. Change my life. Your identity. And the enemy loves nothing more than to strip you of your identity with certain things in this world that will take away your attention from God, certain music, certain shows. I watch certain shows. I like them because they're funny. Even if they're serious, I do like them. But I do. If I engulf in it too much, I can see the effects that it has on me, because it will. What's that? Evil communication will corrupt good character. And it will. And we don't think it will. Won't. I said, and that evil communication can even just be done through other people. It's communication that can corrupt you. You can get around people that will begin to strip your identity away from you. And you won't be able to walk in the fullness of what God has for you. You sweating? It's hot. I'm sweating.
You're funny, Patrick.
Thank you. Tell my in-laws that. They think Seth is funniest one. I think I am.
You're all funny.
I can give him a run for his money. It's the authority you do that in. The casting out demons, the miracle signs and wonders. Some demons don't want the kingdom of God operating through you. The enemy doesn't want certain individuals at times operating through. They'd rather you have you sow strife, contention, envy, jealousy, all that stuff. The enemy fears a united church. And I'm not talking about a united Westview church. I'm talking about a united church, body of Christ church. You're the church. This is a building. You're the church. He wants a united church. And in a united church is a strong church that can't be stopped. Everyone who was brought to the apostles were healed. People with unclean spirits were healed. Nowadays, people just want to cuddle with their demons. Oh, you're just so nice. I want to love you and pet you. Y'all remember that cartoon, my generation, that was it, an Abominable Snowman or something like that? I want to love you and hug you. And we want to curl up to it. No. That's not what we do. And sometimes we're so ashamed. We get so ashamed of what we're going through. I said, we're the church. You're going to be going through something. It's not a shameful thing for you to be attacked because everybody makes it out to be your problem. And that's the reason why people don't want to come to Jesus, is because we make it your problem. You do have authority. It does happen. You can give him an inroad. But at the same time, the enemy will do nothing more than to attack you because you've got something on you. When Peter had talked about, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere. Jesus says, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I pray that your faith will not fail you. He knows he was getting ready to deny Jesus. Jesus knew that he was getting ready to deny him. Peter didn't know that. That wasn't really in his heart. It was in Judas's heart to betray him. But it wasn't in Peter's heart to deny him. See, that's the thing. Either you can continue to go on with the Lord after you messed up, or you can do what Judas did and just falter. That's your choice. And Judas even tried to repent, but it was too late. It was too late. The Bible says, here's the thing, think about this. Nobody hung Judas. Who hung him? Himself. Well, Judas repented, so there was no grace for him. I said, wait a minute. Judas hung himself. Nobody hung him. He took his own life. Peter didn't take his own life. He just ran away in shame. And God and Jesus, with his gracious heart, restored him. Because that's the kind of God we serve. See, we don't want to be embarrassed. We don't want to be embarrassed. It's not a popularity contest when we're up here, when I'm preaching or what have you with any other minister. It's not a popularity contest. It's not a beauty contest. You don't collect $10 for the beauty contest like you on a Monopoly game. No. It's not about you. You're going to have to, if you can get through life realizing it's not about you, you're going to do all right. It's about other people. It's about your neighbor. Love God and love. You got to allow love to lift you up. Let love lift you up. Hatred is too great of a burden to bear. And if you're operating in hatred, stop it. Stop it. If you know your husband's operating in hatred, pinch him. Stop it. That's why I got welts all on my back. Stop it. Don't shake your head. You have to let love lift you up. It doesn't mean that you can't speak the truth. Sometimes people just can't handle the word no. You tell them no, they think, well, I'm going to get what I want from you anyway. And I mean no disrespect when I say this, but when I had a conversation with somebody just recently, just earlier this month, I was hitting them with truth bomb after truth after truth after truth. So much that he looked at me and called me the devil. Because I was hitting on with truth. And I wasn't backing down from the gaslighting and all that stuff. The denial. I was hitting on with truth after truth after truth. And he looked at me and I was looking at him. I said, I know exactly who you are. And he goes, well, you're the devil. You know what I did next? Rah! No, I didn't. I just asked him a simple question that he couldn't answer. Let's see if you can answer this, Dustin. Does the Spirit of God control? Does the Spirit of God control you? Does the Spirit of God control you? Does the Spirit of God control? Who thinks the Spirit of God controls them? Raise your hand. I asked him that. He couldn't answer it. And I just simply told him, I said, you're controlling, and you love to control the narrative. He didn't like me after that. Told me I wasn't a good friend. Now, it could be borderline on whether that was love or hatred, but I believe it was love because I would rather tell him the truth. And y'all know I don't sugarcoat stuff. Amen. When he's focused on God, powerful. When he's focused on other things, not so much. Powerful when he's focused on God. When he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, God, powerful. But when it's other stuff, not so much. And I was just hitting the not so much so he can get him back. And I'm not very tactful when I do things like that. And I need to work on that. That could be the immature part of me. But I'd rather just tell you the truth so you know point blank. Sometimes I could be black and white with stuff. And my kids know that. But I'd rather tell them the truth and let it sit right there, and then you can do whatever it is you want with it. You know, the thing about it is that people get upset with prophets, people who are prophets and stuff like that. I said, you can get all. There are prophets out there, and then there are like the false prophets and stuff like that. I said, listen, just as long as you, because this is the year of obedience and we're supposed to be hearing from God. Remember, God to us, to the people, powerful. But you got some prophets that'll go off of emails to them, to people. They're not getting their oracles from God. They're getting it from man. See, that's not what we should be doing. Pastors and leaders are like that too. They're getting it from man. You're supposed to get it from God. I love how Brother Hagin has said it, and I'll reiterate it, and I'll just take it on as my own, or if I fix something else. But, you know, I said, he goes, I'd rather hear a donkey bray at midnight in a tin barn than to listen to somebody saying they got a word for me. Not because I don't want to hear what the Lord has to say, but that's, I can hear from him too. He can talk to me, and all you're doing is just confirming what he's already said to me. So if somebody gets you to the place to where they tell you, hey, tell Pastor Tim this and this and this, and it's like a prophetic word, what have you, I said, don't do that. Don't go there, because I'll see right through it. I love you. I'm just going to tell you. So if it comes out wrong, just know that I still love you. But I'd rather hear what God has to say through you rather than you being a puppet for somebody else. Why? Because they're reducing who you are. You're a child of God. You can hear from the Lord yourself. And they want to be God to you in your life. You're of obedience to him, not to me. Husbands, you're over your wives. Wives, you don't take my word over your husband's word. You take God's word. But you don't take my word. Well, Pastor Tim said we need to, don't go there. I got no authority over any person in here. We're submitted to each other. Why so quiet in here? Come on. Listen to what the Lord is leading you to do. God has given you the strength to say no in all distraction, but the price is not cheap. The price won't be cheap. When you say no to the devil, it's not cheap because it's going to cost you something. It may cost you friends. It may cost you relationships. It may cost you jobs. It may cost you certain things. But when you choose not to compromise in certain areas, it's going to cost you. But you're going to gain all of eternity when you do. I get talked about a lot. Half the time, I wouldn't even care. I said, the thing is, I don't mind being judged. You know, we talk about judge the character, right? The content of their character, judge the fruit. I don't mind you judging me. Just make sure you're not getting synthetic fruit. If I did it, I did it. If I didn't, I'm going to chop it up, make some fruit salad. Yummy, yummy. Y'all like the Wiggles? So we can't get caught up. I said, don't get caught up in somebody judging you. Why? Because the Bible says, don't judge lest you yourself be judged. So if they're judging you, they're going to be judged, especially if they're doing it out of the wrong heart. Now, if somebody correcting you and trying to help you and stuff like that, that's not judging. They're trying to help you. You got to know the difference. We got to know the difference. But when you say no to the enemy, it will cost you something. Your confidence, your trust is in the Lord, not in yourself. So you got to allow love to lift you up, not hatred. Continue in his word. Jesus says in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, free from fear, free from all the obstacles that might trip you up, free from the addictions, free from the fear of criticism and judgment, free. It'll set you free from that. I was talking to my son one time, I said, one of them years ago, I said, you know the difference between criticism and teardown? He's like a sophomore now. He goes, yeah. I said, you know, when certain people are doing saying certain things to you, and it's criticism, I said, well, take that criticism, use it, what have you, add it to your game, whatever they're talking about, use it. I said, but if they're trying to tear down, let that go one ear and out the other. Don't give it any place. Somebody trying to tear you down all the time, you allow that to sit in your mind, that will eat you up. And then you'll be at war with yourself. Your spiritual battle's right here. But I prayed, but God didn't heal me. Says who? If you pray and you believe that you received what you prayed for, what you asked for, he said it shall be done. It just might take time for the manifestation to happen. But don't you back down. And you know where the enemy is going to be laying in your mind? It didn't work. What you received didn't work. That healing didn't work. Your heart is still broken. You're still like this. Nobody likes you. Look, you don't even have any friends around you. You're lonely. See, the thing is, you're never learning lonely when you're with God because he lives on the inside of you. You'll never be alone. Sometimes I love being alone. With him, that's awesome. Then there's sometimes I get the farm. Simulation. I'm not a true farmer, but I love sowing the seed of God's word in people's lives. Healing. If you're still caught up on stuff, let it go. Let it go. Why? Because you're not going to be able to receive it. The enemy is slick. He's sneaky. He's crafty. He's a snake. And when he's trying to charm you, you just hit him with the truth of God's word right on top of the head. So when you're living in the truth, you become a snake charmer. I don't mean the one to do-do-do-do-do. The enemy can't get you with his tactics. Because when you have that full armor of God on, we are not ignorant of his schemes. So you can see it coming from a mile away. Whatever anybody's trying to throw at you, you can see it come from a mile away. Now, they may say you're walking out of love. They may say you're in unforgiveness. They may say you might be overthinking. They may say that you're bitter. They may say you're offended, but God knows your heart. Well, how does my faith still work then? If I'm all those things, why does my faith still work? Have y'all heard me take a deep breath yet? Do I sound winded, Denise, yet? Come on. My faith works. You can't say I'm out of love. You can't say I'm out of character. You can't say that I'm bitter. You can't say that I'm offended. You can't say all these other things that will stop my faith from growing because my faith works. I trust in him, not in myself. I trust in his word, not in myself. And the more and more I get up in here and I begin preaching, the bolder I get, the more healed I am. Yes. What time? 11:30? You just get here? Hey, just let it go. Just let it go. I like the sideburn stuff. I had a lot. Yeah, just let it go. Slick. Luke 10:19 says this. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing by any means shall hurt you. No scorpions, no serpents operating through other people, they will not hurt you. They will probably wear you down, but they will not hurt you. Remember in Acts chapter 16, verse 16 and 18, the Passion Translation says it was a spirit of divination that was following Paul all around. Little girl, these men work for the Most High God, right? It was a spirit of divination. It was a python spirit. And it followed Paul everywhere he went. And the Amplified Version says, Paul was sorely annoyed and worn out until he cast it out. Behold, I give you authority. Now, why would we want to trade that off for our flesh? Jesus gave us authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. If anybody's getting up there preaching and telling you that God don't want you to succeed, I don't want to hear that. God doesn't want you to be blessed, I don't want to hear that. And you know, sometimes I could be negative with scriptures. Why are you always talking about negative scriptures and stuff? Why are you always saying, well, they're in this Bible. It's not just me being negative. I said, those are scriptures that are in the Bible. It's okay. But it's another thing to be negative with your words. Because those thoughts will get here, and out of the abundance of the heart, what speaks? The mouth. Then you begin to speak word curses over your own life, over your children's life, all that stuff. You begin to say those things that will just hinder what God has already done for you. Speak blessings over your marriage. Lord, I thank you that I have a wife that loves to rub feet, clip my toenails, rub my back. Who said that, Steve? Jesus says, I give you authority. That's not coming from anyone else. Nobody lying on you is going to hurt you. You'll hurt yourself if you dwell on it. But nobody lying on you is going to hurt you. People want to drag around that debt course about your life and what you did years ago. Let them. They want to profit off of it. Let them. Who cares? That person's dead. That person's dead, ain't he? That person's dead, ain't he? Leave them there. You came out of your cocoon. Now that transformation has taken place. That cocoon is literally just fly away right there, right? But see, there's a difference between butterflies and caterpillars and snakes. Snakes will only shed their skin in order to get bigger. They don't ever change. They just get a little shinier. But see, he's given you authority to trample over all the serpents and scorpions. So we don't want to be that snake. We want to be that caterpillar. We want to be that butterfly that emerges, that is cocoon. And the next thing you know, people are like, man, there's a change in you that I don't understand. What is it? And you can just say, that's my Jesus. That's what he's done in my life. That's my Jesus. But my dad used to play a song, a gospel song. Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. Oh, when God gets through with me, now I shall come forth like pure gold. Please be patient. So sometimes people are going to have to be patient with what God is doing in your life. They want to judge a past, let them. You in transition. You still want to talk? I'm in transition. Well, yeah, but you did that. I'm in transition. I'm not there anymore. I'm going. Don't judge me on my past. Judge me where he's leading me to. Yeah, but we got this about you. I don't give a rip. He actually said, well, you're judging me. I said, I can judge your character and I can judge your fruit. And then he goes, well, your character is not that great. I said, lay it on me. Lay it on me. Please help me out. But when you don't want to share those things with somebody as two men coming together and they're talking and you can't share your part, but I can share all of mine, there's something wrong with that. Jesus says, I give you authority. That comes from nowhere else. So you know he's giving you something that's not cheap and powerless. It's the same authority he used while he was walking on this earth. It was the same authority that he used in order to raise Lazarus from the dead. It was the same authority that he had used to heal the cripple. It was the same authority that he had used to heal that man that was lowered in the ceiling from the roof. And he gives it to you. Little man, he's giving it to you. See how awesome God is? He gives it to you. You can do exactly what Jesus did. But many in that day, Pastor Tim, cool. See, people can use that in two different ways, a few different ways. They can use that to get fear into you so that you'll stop doing it. Or if the, you know, the Bible says to the pure, all things are pure. It could be they're making sure that you got a personal relationship with Jesus. Because he says, depart from me, for I never knew you. They never had a relationship with Jesus. Don't allow that to keep you dead in your tracks. When you're sharing your faith, share it boldly. Doesn't matter if you mess up. That's okay. Doesn't matter if you get whooped. There's a story about Andrew Womack. I remember hearing him. And he was doing a Bible study, and it was some of these guys. There was one guy that was just whooping him, several people in there. And he was just whooping him back and forth, going up. And this guy just, he ended up basically taking the whole group away. And Andrew was just like, you know, God, I don't understand it. And then that guy ended up coming back like 30 minutes later. He's like, you know, I went to college, debated. This is what they teach us to do. But he goes, I don't have what you have. You were wrong, but yet you were still standing on that faith or what have you. I said, I whipped you in every way. I said, there's something different when you have a personal relationship with God. And even though you may not know all the scriptures and stuff like that, you may know one scripture. That'd be enough. Now, here's the thing. You should know a whole lot more. But it should be the revelation of what you know. It isn't just memorizing it. You can memorize anything and not mean anything to you. Amen, amen, come on. Speak the word. People are going to get upset with you when you're speaking certain things. That's okay. That's all right. That means their demons don't like what you're saying. Speak the word. God wants your attention. He won't force you to do anything. So my question is to you, why do you allow someone else try to force you to do what they want you to do against your will and God's will? We got to learn to say no. Got to learn to put up a boundary. No, I'm not doing that. Then I get talked about. Still not doing that. Then I got people coming at me sideways. Still not doing that. Why? No is no. I love you, but no is no. I'm going to do what he's called me to do. I'm going to do whatever he wants, whatever I want. Y'all hear me say that before? I'm going to do whatever I want. But there's more to it. What I want to do is his will. Nobody else's. I'm going to do what he wants me to do, not somebody else. You should want to do what he wants you to do. I'm not talking about on your job. Oh, Pastor Tim said, then you end up being fired. Use wisdom in that. He won't force you. He won't force you. You're okay with this? Are you happy? Tell your face. Healing belongs to you. It's yours. You got heart problems? Be healed in the name of Jesus. You got clogged arteries? Open up in the name of Jesus and start eating right. Because you got to do something in the natural too. I like pork rinds, but I can't eat those all the time. You don't like fat back? You don't like curled up fat back, barbecued? That's insane. That's disgusting. Your eyesight's dim. Cataracts be removed in the name of Jesus. 20/20 vision. Is there something better than 20/20? What's that? Somebody say it. No, is that perfect vision? Okay. I call 20/20 vision right now in the name of Jesus for all those who need it. Your eyes are not dim. Open in the name of Jesus. You don't need surgeries. That costs a lot. Spend it on your kids. Spend it on your family. Continue to be a vessel for God. You got knee problems? You command cartilage to grow. Loanne, you okay? What you believe in God for? Well, healing, hearing. You good? Okay. Anybody's got any kind of symptoms in their body right now? If not, then the word is working, then you understand your faith. Come on. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done. Lord, we thank you for our life, health, and strength. I thank you for everyone here, Lord. And we thank you that we don't have to be ashamed of what goes on in our lives, Lord. We just want to be transparent before you, Father. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. If there's anyone here who's never given their life to Jesus, you want to do that. It's very simple. Just believe in the name of Jesus. Believe in what he's done for you on that cross. And you will be saved. He did all the hard work. All you have to do is believe in him, trust in him, confess him as your Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for good reports. For those who are online that may have gone to doctors, we thank you for a good report in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, let's stand to your feet. T, you want to close us out? Isaiah's not here, so he... I'm not going to do the turn to your neighbor thing. I know some people don't like that. Well, what I will do is ask y'all to be bold in your faith and don't back down. Just one person this week. Share your faith with somebody. Sit down with them. Genuinely. And have a heart to heart. Because if everything's good going on in your life, God doesn't just give you enough, barely enough to survive. He gives you overflow to the full. He's come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That abundance is for other people too. So share. Share Jesus. Share your faith. Share your money. Share your love. Let love lift you up. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you this Wednesday. This Wednesday, we don't have the video, but I will be preaching this Wednesday on something, so come on out.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.